Ethan is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across London today. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in England, a young person wanted to train as a nurse for an NHS trust with visible staffing shortages, but was told there was no funding for training places while simulation labs sat empty and qualified healthcare assistants remained unemployed. This is the story of how Treasury spending limits blocked the connection between people who wanted to work and hospitals that needed them.
I grew up in Edmonton Green, watching my nan wait 3 weeks for a GP appointment that should have taken 3 days. She'd sit by the phone at 8 in the morning, redialing the surgery until someone picked up, only to be told the next available slot was nearly a month away. When she finally got seen, the doctor was rushed, clearly overworked, apologetic but powerless. I knew even then that this wasn't how it was supposed to work. During sixth form at Enfield County School, I volunteered at North Middlesex University Hospital on weekends. The wards were chaos. Nurses running between too many patients, healthcare assistants covering gaps they weren't trained for, agency staff who didn't know where anything was. I watched qualified nurses leave because the pressure was unsustainable. And I watched patients suffer because there weren't enough hands to provide proper care. I decided I wanted to be part of the solution. I wanted to train as a nurse and come back to North Mead to serve the community I'd grown up in. In 2019, I applied to Health Education England for a nursing degree apprenticeship. I specified that I wanted placement at North Middlesex University Hospital. The need was obvious to anyone who'd spent 5 minutes on those wards. When the rejection letter came, it said funding constraints meant they could only offer 60% of the apprenticeships they had offered the previous year. 60%, as though the staffing crisis had somehow improved by 40% overnight. I applied directly to Middlesex University for a traditional nursing degree. They accepted me but explained that the NHS bursary had been replaced with student loans. The debt would have been massive, the interest punitive. My family couldn't help with living costs, and the maintenance loan wouldn't cover rent in London plus everything else. I couldn't see how to make it work financially. So I took a healthcare assistant job at North Mid instead, planning to save money and reapply later. The irony was immediate. I was working on wards that were desperately understaffed, earning barely enough to live on while being unable to access the training that would let me fill the gaps I could see every day. Then I discovered Sarah. She lived 3 doors down from my family, had 5 years' experience as a healthcare assistant, and was unemployed. Not because she wasn't good at her job, not because she didn't want to work, but because North Mead couldn't afford to hire her despite the obvious staff shortages. She showed me her rejection letter. Due to budget constraints, we are unable to offer you a position at this time. This was the same hospital where I was watching patients wait hours for basic care because there weren't enough staff. In 2021, I reapplied to Health Education England. The response was even blunter this time. There is no budget for additional training places this year. No budget. As though the pounds had simply vanished, as though the government that prints the notes had somehow run out of them. I started to notice things that didn't fit this excuse. Walking past Middlesex University's nursing building one afternoon, I saw entire floors were dark. I got talking to a security guard who mentioned that 2 simulation labs hadn't been used all semester. Not because the equipment was broken, not because there were no instructors, but because they couldn't fill the funded places they actually had. The building was there. The labs were there. The teaching staff were there. But somehow, there was no money to connect people like me to the training we needed. That's when the excuse started to sound different. The government that issues the pound was telling me it couldn't find enough pounds to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. Sarah wanted to work. I wanted to train. The hospital needed both of us. The training facilities existed. The ward spaces existed. Everything was there except the political will to spend the money that would connect it all together. I used to accept the explanation that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still working as a healthcare assistant on wards that are still understaffed. But I understand now that what happened to me wasn't bad luck or unfortunate timing. It was the result of a series of political decisions made by people who had alternatives. Every time Health Education England said no budget, every time the Treasury set spending limits for nurse training, every time someone decided that public investment was a cost to be minimized rather than the means by which qualified staff reach the wards that need them. That was a choice. My story isn't unique. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says, the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. It was locked by people who had the key.
What Ethan experienced it has a name, fake experts. This works like the tobacco industry's strategy of citing scientists who questioned the link between smoking and cancer. They found the small minority of researchers willing to say what they wanted to hear, then amplified those voices to create the illusion of scientific debate where none existed. In Ethan's case, every time Health Education England said there is no budget, they were citing economists who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth. These voices ignore the fundamental difference between a currency user and a currency issuer. They repeat phrases like fiscal responsibility and balancing the books, as though repeating them makes them applicable to a government that issues its own money. When challenged about healthcare spending, they say economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. And in Edmonton and Winchmore Hill, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Edmonton and Winchmore Hill ranks 28 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in decile 1, the most deprived areas in England. English indices of deprivation, 20 to 25, MHCLG. The constituency has 603 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £16.2 million. 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.